Chapter 9. An Awkward Composition. The next day, I meet Trevor, Rosa, Phoebe, and the rest of our trials team for our first composium practice. I arrive at the shell yawning and red-eyed, having tossed and turned all night long. My head wouldn't stop replaying the midnight orchestra's music, and the few times I did doze off, my dreams filled with masked faces and towering sand dunes. But with the morning, the orchestra seems to fade away, unreal and dreamlike. It's hard to believe I ever left Mistwick at all. I may be exhausted and completely unprepared for our first composium practice, but at least it will be a reminder of normalcy. Part of preparing for the trials was recruiting maestros to supervise each of the 5 events. Of course, my luck landed me with Mr. Pinwhistle in charge of the composium. Since arriving at Mistwick, I've learned that he's not as grumpy as he seems. In fact, there was a time when he was the only maestro here who believed in me. I'd hoped afterward that he might be nicer. But if anything, he's only gotten crankier. It's like he knows I've seen how caring he really is, and now he's determined to make up for it by heaping on an extra dose of grouchiness. As we settle into our seats, he looks over the students gathered before him and gives a weary sigh.
How did I get talked into this?
Since the composium requires the whole trials team to participate, there are 32 of us all together, representing the 4 classes. Aeros, Chordos, Vibratos, and Percussos. I sit in the front row between Jai and Victoria, and I'm as jittery as a frog in a pan. Turning in my seat, I spot Darby in the back row. Mia sees me looking and leans over to whisper in Darby's ear. The girls laugh, and my face warming, I turn around again. I wonder what Darby would make of my trip to the Midnight Orchestra. If it weren't for Mia, I'd have told her about it already, but as it is, I'm not even sure I could get her on her own. Mia keeps her so close, it's like they're leashed together.
Where is that woman? Growls Mr. Pinwhistle.
We're waiting for Miss Mott, who's supposed to be our other maestro in charge. She seems to make a habit of running behind. She turned up 30 minutes late to my last composing class, fluttering and laughing as if nothing were wrong. I'd been too intimidated to point out the time, and we'd spent the next half hour stringing mood beads into necklaces. Monitoring emotive energy, as she'd called it. With a mutter, Mr. Pinwhistle gives up waiting, turns on the projector, and shines it on a screen that rolls down from the ceiling above the stage. The video he plays shows a student chamber orchestra like ours. They're on an outdoor platform set against a dramatic backdrop of snow-capped mountains. A banner over their heads reads, "The Orphean Trials."
"These are the Sousa Musicraft Academy students," says Mr. Pinwhistle.
Immediately, everyone starts booing. He waits, pinching the bridge of his nose until we quiet down again.
"They are, of course, the winners of last year's composium, and the year before that, and the year before, well, you get it. Now, until Miss Jones completes her composition, we'll prepare by studying the spells of previous winners, such as this one."
He steps back as the kids in the video begin playing. The spell is beautiful and complex. It's a white spell, affecting only the mind, so I can't tell what it's doing. But when the camera pans to the audience, I see its results. There's not a dry eye in sight. Everyone is smiling and crying, holding their hands to their hearts or faces as if they're overwhelmed. A cold sweat breaks out on my neck. How in the world am I supposed to top something like that?
"Here,"
says Mr. Pinwhistle, tapping the screen where a tall, dark-haired boy is playing piano,
"is the composer of this spell, Luca D'Alessio, who will be a senior this year, competing in the composium for the 5th time for his 5th win."
I lean forward to better study my competition. Luca D'Alessio, a tall, tanned boy with black curly hair, smiles as he watches his fellow students perform his piece while he coaxes the melody from the piano. Ribbons of silvery white magic flow from their instruments and curl like fog around the audience members.
"This was a memory recall spell," says Mr. Pinwhistle. It summons the happiest memories in its listeners, as real as the day they happened. The spell created a unique experience for each listener, a very difficult trick to pull off. Compositions are judged for their musical technicality, as well as their magical complexity and sophistication.
So, what's our spell going to be? Asks Kirsten.
Everyone looks at me. My ears burn. I haven't really decided yet.
But you've got something in mind? Says Kirsten.
Sure. Yep.
I clasp my hands in my lap, hoping they don't hear the tremble in my voice.
Working on it.
Ah, don't worry about it,
Jai says loudly, waving his hand.
Amelia summoned an army of ghosts, like from the dead.
She's got this in the bag. The other composers will run scared. The rest of the students laugh and add their agreement.
Amelia's our secret weapon, Trevor declares.
Sure, calls Mia from the back. Unless, of course, she's a one-hit wonder.
She's met with a stunned silence, and more than a few questioning looks turn my way. Clearly, most of them hadn't considered that possibility, but now they do. Now, I do. I'm getting that queasy feeling again, as if I'm about to jump straight into the deep end of the pool without knowing how to swim. Only now I know that the deep end is also full of sharks.
My, my, my! What is going on in here?
Rings out a sunny voice.
I love a party.
Miss Mott has arrived, in grand fashion. She sweeps through the red curtain on the stage, wearing a rainbow assortment of draped, flowing clothes and one long, dangly feather earring. Her locks swing in a thick braid down her back.
You're late,
gripes Mr. Pinwhistle, his voice strained. Pausing the video, he stares hard at the clock on the back wall, not even looking at the other maestro.
Very late.
Why, Mr. Pinwhistle,
Miss Mott says slowly as she descends the steps to the floor.
I suppose I am.
Mr. Pinwhistle waves a hand at us students.
Here's what we've got to work with. I'll make sure they're in tune, so long as you make sure there's an actual spell to play.
I'm sure Amelia and I will be just fine,
she says, coming over to wrap an arm around me. Her feather earring tickles my cheek.
But darling, you forgot your emotive energy necklace.
Oh, I say weakly. She clasps my mood beads around my neck, while behind me, kids start laughing. Miss Mott doesn't seem to hear them, but she happily arranges the necklace until she's satisfied.
Why, look at this!
She taps the beads, which turn dark green.
She's already burning with passion. Or perhaps, oh my, romance?
I'm burning, all right, but not with passion, definitely not with romance. While the others laugh, my cheeks are on fire. I eye Kirsten's euphonium and wonder if it's big enough for me to crawl into and hide.
The important thing to remember, says Mr. Pinwhistle, is that no matter what spell you play together. You're an orchestra, and it'll take every one of you at your best to have even a chance. I mean, these guys are good.
He points a thumb at the Sousa kids, still frozen in place on the screen.
They're really, really good.
We wait, expecting him to add, but you're better. He never does. After Mr. Pinwhistle makes us watch three more videos of Luca D'Alessio's past spells, the meeting ends and I leave the shell in a daze. The other students file out behind me, chatting excitedly. The day is sunny and warmer than it's been all week, but I still feel cold.
Don't look so scared, says Amari, clapping me on the back. We totally got this.
Yeah, I bet none of those composers ever made a black spell, she adds. Amelia's gonna make toast of them.
I grimace. Composing a black spell isn't exactly something you brag about.
Maybe, Mia says, leaning in the doorway. But Luca's not just a good composer. He's brilliant.
I once saw him compose a spell that convinced an entire room full of people that they were peacocks. You should have seen how many of them tried to fly. She looks directly at me and adds, his specialty is white magic. The rarest kind. Except for, obviously, black spells.
You know him?
Asks Jai. Sure. We used to perform on the same tour circuit. He's almost as famous as I am.
Well, Amelia opened a doorway to the afterworld, says Victoria. I'm betting on her.
She pats my hand and smiles before rolling away, her guitar case slung over the back of her wheelchair. I smile gratefully after her. Everyone heads off in different directions, to classes or study hall or free time. I wave to Jai and Darby, who have music craft history together across campus.
When are you going to tell them?
Mia asks when it's just the two of us standing in front of the concert hall, Orpheus Lake glittering a short distance away.
Tell them what?
That you can't do it. That you got lucky once, made up a spell you didn't even know you were composing. And that you're leading them all down a dead-end road.
My hand tightens on my backpack strap. I could just turn and walk away. I could ignore her.
Instead, I look her square in the eyes.
What's your problem with me?
She scoffs.
Don't tell me you don't see it.
How they all humor you just because you're, like, an orphan or something?
I'm not, actually. Whatever. I don't care. Which is probably why I'm the only one around here who will actually tell you the truth. Like how you're going to let everyone down at the trials.
My teeth grinding together, I push past her and march away. Even though it's in the opposite direction of my next class, I just want to get away from her.
Face it, Wonder Girl, Mia laughs. You're in over your head.
I don't give her the benefit of looking back. But deep down, I'm scared she might be right.